Modim Lasimcha, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Bereishit. This week, Rabbi James Jacobson Meisels discusses Bereishit. Rabbi James Jacobson Meisels is a member of the Pardes faculty. His focus is Jewish mysticism. And now, Rabbi James Jacobson Meisels.
Thank you, Larry. The Pizetzner Rebbe, Rabbi Kolonimus Kalma Shapira, discusses Parsha Bereishit in his work Derech HaMelech, which is a series of drashot which are given before the war. He opens up by discussing the famous question of Rashi in the Midrash, really two different questions. One is the meaning of Bereishit, which is interpreted by Rashi in the Midrash as with various elements which are metaphorized as Reishit, as beginning, such as the Torah, Yisrael, etc. And also the question of why the Torah started with this history of creation, this process of creation, rather than with the first mitzvah, Chodesh Hazeh. This month will be to you the first of the month, the mitzvah of Pesach. He continues in this introduction, saying, Amnam itzamei abal shem tov, al ha-pasuk, metzitz min ha-charichim. But the Baal Shem Tov teaches, on the verse from Shir HaShirim, from Song of Songs, that he peeks between the lattice work. Shekshadam ba'la sot avera, odavar mechuar chas v'shalom. Nofel alav yira ve'omer halavai shelo yireni adam, kidi'ita v'gemara. When a person comes to do some kind of sin, or some ugly act, God forbid, awe and fear fall upon him, and he says, would that it be that no person should see me doing this, as it says in the Gemara, in the Talmud. The person has a sense of shame and fear before other people. They may see something that seems to him unbecoming, unacceptable. Zot hi hitlabshut nitzot elokut. And this is actually an enclothing of a divine spark. That is, this sense of shame, of concern, of worry about doing something and having other people see, and this awareness in some part of your being that what you're doing right now is not quite right. This is actually, the Pizetzner tells us, a divine spark, a divine message. Shehi barach mitzamtzem et yirato al adam nishmaro min devar mechuar. That God contracts his awe into the person to guard him from doing something ugly. But the person does not know that God looks upon him at this very moment with this aspect of fear or awe. And it seems to him that someone maybe is peering at him through the window. Hapetach v'chulei. V'hu mistater. V'omer halavai shelo yirani adam ad kan l'shono kodesh. Through some doorway, etc., and he is hidden, and he says, would that another person not see me? That is, he says this concern about another person not seeing you, which seems a very limited concern. Seems as if you're not really concerned about the badness of the action at all. You're just concerned about being seen by somebody else and being condemned, being told that what you're doing is wrong, being ashamed of your action. But in fact, he says it's not quite the case. This experience of shame itself is actually a reflection of a divinity which is actually inherent and present within you, which lets you know through this worry about being seen, brings to your awareness a concern about the rightness of this act. And in fact, this worry about being seen by others is merely a sort of shadow or reflection of a deeper worry or awareness of being seen by God, but awareness which is not yet present to consciousness for the practitioner at this moment. For as he continues, Ki Hashem Yiparach hu la'ela mikol shmahen v'kinuyin u'mashkiach b'Yisrael asher b'olam hazeh ayadei midotav kedoshot. Because the blessed God is above, he transcends all names and all appellations. God is beyond language, transcends all language. It can't be captured in even normal ways of conceptualizing or speaking. And he watches over Israel in this world through his holy qualities, his holy midot. Qualities, traits, virtues, and also his sfirot, the various divine personalities according to the Kabbalah. L'chein kol midotav nimtzaot ba'olam. Therefore, all of these divine qualities, all these divine traits are actually present in the world. But they are hidden from a person only because a person hides them. So the divine is actually fully present. Divine qualities are fully present. The divine virtues of compassion and wisdom and understanding and boundary setting and loving kindness. They're all always already present. It's only us who hide them from ourselves. We hide them from ourselves and make ourselves unable to see them. Ach shebalif go behen velechabot midah min amidot, hi mitoret mitoch levusha. But when we come to damage one of these midot, to extinguish one midah, one trait, one quality from the various midot, then she is awakened from within her covering. So when we start to act in a way which is damaging, which is harmful to these divine qualities in us and in the world, then that quality within us is somehow triggered, the threat somehow stimulates it and it awakens. It pushes itself for a moment in some way into our consciousness, even though before it was hidden. L'mashal, for example, he says, gachelet omemet. It's like a sort of a dying down coal, right? A coal. Kevan shemechuseh ba'afar, ein adam yodea sheyesh esh lefanav. When it's covered in ash, in dust, a person doesn't know that there was fire before. Ukshebal lichbota b'mayim, hi marticha u'mashmiya kol. But when you try to put it out with water, so you know, you pour water on a fire which seems to have died down, covered with ash, you pour water, and all of a sudden, whoa, it boils the water, steam comes out, you hear that the hiss of the water. It was seemingly covered, but actually that fire, that passion, that element was still there. Ken midot ha-kedoshot nimtzaot b'chol davar b'olam u'v'adam. So too, these holy qualities are found everywhere in the world. They are constantly present in the world and in the person. They're always there in the person. Rak shemechusot ba'afar shedarach adam aleihen b'shtiyot uvehavalim sherasho v'libo shadam le'im. It is only that they have been covered over by dust. Dust which a person, because a person has trodden upon them with his foolishness and his meaningless acts, with which his head and heart are full. So the divine is constantly present, always present. But we in our daily acts, our acts of unconsciousness, our acts of not paying attention to that which is around us, we cover over these divine elements, these always already present divine elements within us. Ukshebala sot devar mechoar, but when a person comes to do something ugly, something unbecoming, shehu inyan siluk shrinam yekirbo bedevar hazeh, which is actually a matter of the removal of the Shekhinah from within him in this matter. It's a kind of tearing away of the divine within us. Az mitoreret hamidah. Then this quality is awakened, just like the coal which has the water poured on it. When you try to put it out, when it's threatened, all of a sudden it awakens. Va'ish mirgish ira. And a person feels, in this example, for instance, awe. Feels the awe which is hidden from within it normally. Because at this moment, he's threatening that awe. He's acting in a way which is contrary to that awe, contrary to that recognition of divine presence. And so all of a sudden, that awe, that recognition of divine presence, awakens within him. And it's a way of talking about that process we all experience as we go to do something, and all of a sudden, some part of ourselves, even if we've thought it's okay, even if we've justified it to ourselves, there's some part of ourself which is awakened to the problematic nature of that act or that plan or that thought, that maybe what we thought was okay is actually not okay at all. So how does a person deal with this process of awakening? How do they touch that other part, that place of genuine awe, that place of recognition of divine presence inside of them. Well, the Bezetner continues a few paragraphs later by saying, "Lechen reshit kol tzaricha Yisrael ledat she'Hashem yiparach einu minaheg imo kamo shehu minaheg im Hashem." Have to know, first of all, that God does not act towards us the way we act towards God. And even though he has distanced himself from God, from the divine, even if we have become distant, Hashem karov alav, God is still close to him. And he contracts his qualities into every aspect of his life. That is, even though we seem to us that we are so distant, even though we seem perhaps we've taken a wrong path or made a wrong decision, the divine is always already fully present, contracted perhaps, not fully realized, not fully aware yet, but fully present inside of us. Uvechol davar sheba lifnei adam, heim machshava ratzon u'maseh, yechol lagalot et midot hakedoshot, and everything which comes before a person, whether in thought, or will, or deed, doesn't matter what aspect, a psychic aspect, an aspect of the heart or the will, an aspect of action, everything which a person encounters is able to reveal these holy qualities. That even when a person comes to do something ugly, God forbid, so too then this aspect of awe, for instance, can be awakened before him. As the Gemara said, quoting the verse, "Know him in all your ways, afilu devar avera," even in the matter of sin, even when you're going to a sin to do something wrong, it can be a moment, a pathway, a door to actually open to the divine. Shugam azicholim ledat v'lakira toyiparach, because even then one can know and recognize God. V'zeu kol yicholatenu lipalel Hashem ayadei she'Hashem yiparach banu tamid, and this is actually our entire capacity to pray to God. It is because God is within us always. It is God's presence within us always that allows us to pray to God. So what does this mean? He's focusing on this element of divine presence, that the presence is always within us, that even when we're not aware of it, it's waiting there for it to come out, even though it's covered over by the normal acts of our life. Ukshaba ish Yisraeli palel, tzrich legalot mikodem et bichinat shchina, so when a person comes to pray, he actually has to first reveal this aspect of the Shekhinah, of the divine presence within him, who has descended into us, onto us in the exile. And she is located, she has found this divine presence within us. It is only that she is covered in garments, in covering, in dust, in ashes. And he brings her forth and reveals her with his prayer, the aspect of, from the depths, I have called to you, Hashem. So too I call to God that he will bring me up, he will cause me to ascend from my depths, from the depths in which I am sunk. And from this divinity which is revealed within him, he prays to God. So in order to communicate to the divine, we have to first touch and recognize our own divinity. It's absolutely crucial, which is to recognize this process of even in the midst, starts off by saying, even in the midst of starting to do something bad, something ugly, we need to recognize our divine nature, and from there the transformation comes. Here too, in this moment of communication, of reaching out, we don't do it from the place of our own lack and terribleness, but we do it from the place of recognizing fundamentally, first of all, our own goodness, our own divine nature. V'aza tfila shimipalel hi kamo she'ita b'kdushat levi al v'yikra Hashem Hashem. And then, the prayer which he praises is as it says in Kedushat Levi, by Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, Vayikra Hashem Hashem, and he calls Hashem Hashem, Shashem Yiparach Korel Hashem, that God calls to God. That is, the verse which starts off the Shlosh Asar Midot, the 13 qualities, Midot again, this term Midot, of compassion, 13 divine traits. Starts off, Hashem, Hashem, Harachum V'chanum. But there's a sense in one, Vayikra Hashem, Hashem, that you can read it as, and God called Hashem. God called to himself, and so too he says here that actually, at its fundamental meaning, prayer is the communication of the divine to the divine. Prayer is God's own call to herself when we touch the divinity which is within us. So it's an opportunity to genuinely touch that divine, to stop for a moment and see that divine is there. But how do we do this? How do we touch the divinity which is within us? A touching which allows us to both transform a harmful intention, a sin, an ugly deed, into our own divine awareness, and allows us to pray. A touching which allows us to transform our own divine awareness, to transform ourselves so that we see our own divine nature, and therefore avoid that ugly or bad deed we are planning on doing. And so too, it allows us to genuinely communicate with the divine, with another person, to pray from what is actually the depths of our heart. How do we do that? Well, he says, a few paragraphs later, the Chasidim Rishonim hayu shohin she'achat kodem ha'tefila. The early pietists, as it says in the Mishnah, would wait an hour before they prayed. Litarel lamala min ha'dibor bichlal, in order to ascend beyond the aspect of speech. And he continues, ve'afshar zo gam etza echicholim lavo litarut ve'itgalut chelek elokut shebikirbo b'lo hitarut shal tzorchei atzmo. And it's possible this is also advice as to how it can come to an awakening and a revelation of the divine aspect within him without awakening his own selfish needs. That is, how does one awaken this divine aspect without awakening the ego? How does one awaken this awareness of one's divinity, which is not actually an aspect of pride, but an aspect of deep appreciation for oneself and the world? Af lamala min ha'dibur, even beyond this aspect of speech, beyond what we can grasp in speech. Ayadei shohin she'achat kodem ha'tefila, through this waiting for an hour before the tefila. So what is this waiting? Ki kiniskar lamala be'emet yesh b'chol ish Yisrael b'chol inyanav chelek elokut, because there is in every Jew, in every aspect of him, a portion of divinity, constantly present. It's just that we, as we discussed before, we hide it, we cover it over through our thoughts and our desires and all our matters. Just the normal operation of our heart and our mind and our deeds hide this divinity from us. They conceal this divinity from us. To the extent that even holiness, even a holy quality such as awe, which is revealed to him through the matters of his life, seems to him like the kind of awe or fear which a person should not feel, should not experience. It gets transformed into something else, and we're unable to see the divine aspect of it. But if a person could stand and cease for an hour the flow of his thoughts and desires, then this divine portion would appear to him without any covering. But it's only because a person chases after, he pursues his thought. What will I do tomorrow? How will I support myself? How will I be honored? Therefore, his thoughts flow without ceasing. And this insight into the nature of our thought here is very important. Saying that one of the major aspects which covers over our divine nature is this ceaseless flow of thought and desire, thought and desire, thought and desire. And this flow of thought and desire actually doesn't just happen by itself. It is our own pursuit of thought and desire, our feeding of thought and desire, which causes this unending cycle, this unending flow to continue. We feed it through our worry, through the stories we tell, through the thoughts we think, through the reinforcing of the importance of this desire of honor, respect, people seeing us a certain way, having enough money, not feeling at a loss of what to do, and all the things that he mentions right here, and many more. But we actually have a choice. We have a choice to step out for a moment from that flow, from that aspect of feeding our thought and desire, feeding this ceaseless and unhelpful flow, this thorny bush in which we are caught, as he talks about in another context. And this is what the Mishnah said, that you should shuv, you should return, you should do tshuva, you should repent one day before your death. That he should think that he doesn't have, not God forbid, a tomorrow. And he should not think on tomorrow, and it should not worry his thoughts. That is, how do we drop out of this pattern of thought and desire? Partly we do it by coming into the present moment, by dropping this thought about tomorrow, the next thing, the next day, what I'm going to achieve, what I'm going to acquire. We come back to the moment just for now. We recognize that we have to return here in the sense of to return to ourselves, to return to that divine nature who we truly are, before our death, because our death could be any moment. That awareness of mortality which allows us to be, at least for the moment, in this present moment. And this is what it's meant, that to wait, to sort of pause for an hour before prayer. What the early pietists would do, the Chassidim Rishonim. Shohin v'hu nishar omed b'da'ato machshvotav. He pauses and he remains standing in his sort of mind and thought. Instead of pursuing them, going after them, he remains stable and silent and present, at least for a few moments. Va'az ahava v'yirah Torah shobichinat atzilut shelo titgalelo. And then, a pure love and awe of the aspect of emanation, the highest aspect of divinity, will be revealed to him. That is, we have always within us this divine essence, the divine essence which, as the Baal Shem Tov described it, is covered over by all of the ways in which we stir up dust in our lives, the way we trod on and step on these divine qualities, through the ceaseless flow of thought and desire and misplaced action. But no matter what we do, that divine aspect is always waiting there for us. And when it sees us about to make a mistake, it is actually in some ways revealed. Now, of course, we don't always pay attention to it. But we feel that nagging pull of consciousness, or at least that nagging pull of shame and worry about others seeing us, as the Baal Shem Tov said. This is actually our divine nature, trying to awaken us to who we truly are. And we're not condemned to be stuck in the dust. We're not condemned to be covered over by ignorance, by the inability to see our genuine nature. Rather, we have the opportunity at any moment to find out who we genuinely are, and we do that by shohin sha'achat, by stopping, by pausing, by being for a moment in that present moment, by observing for a moment our own experience rather than feeding the flow of thought and desire, and therefore rediscovering who we are underneath. And that beginning, that returning to ourselves, that is Bereshit. That is with the beginning. That is the return of creation. That is the newness of creating the world anew. And that is the opportunity we have at every moment. It's an opportunity to take this Parshat Bereshit, this Parsha, this reading of beginnings and of renewal, to renew this very moment ourselves, to find once again who we are and who we can be at this moment.
Thank you, Rabbi Jacobson Meisels. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to info@pardes.org.il. And please remember to discuss the podcast with your friends. Remind them that no iPod is necessary. You can listen to the podcast via your computer that's equipped with speakers. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.